Hello and welcome to Aalto Helsinki podcast, a student-led show that opens the doors to the world of science.
Hello and welcome to our ninth episode of Aalto Helsinki podcast. I'm Anniina, and today we're taking a different approach to synthetic biology by diving into the world of design.
As today's co-host, I'm Emma, and with us in the studio we have Manuel Arias, an interdisciplinary researcher from VTT. So welcome to our episode.
Thank you. Very happy to be here today.
Yeah, so would you like to start by introducing yourself first?
Yes, so my name is Manuel Arias. I'm originally from Costa Rica, and I've been living here now in Finland for almost 5 years. And yeah, as you already know, my background is in design, originally visual design. But then I did my master's at Aalto in creative sustainability. Those studies were the ones that kind of like drove me into this field of biotechnology and synthetic biology and working with materials and very close loop with the scientists.
What was it that originally interested you in synthetic biology?
Yeah, so it all started during my master's at Aalto in creative sustainability. I got quite interested. Well, I have always been quite interested in the use of recycled materials or just materials in general. So then during my studies, I became quite curious about these biomaterials, and there was like a course, a summer school actually, called ChemArts. So I joined that summer school, and then through it, then I started to get my hands on this type of new materials and then learning how, you know, the scientific environments are, and then how design can also like be used in those sort of environments. So that's kind of like what drove me into this field. And then from there, actually, during the summer school, I was quite curious to know more about fungi, actually. They put me in touch with some of the people at VTT, and then I was invited then to start collaborating with them to develop like a small project for the summer school. But then from there, it evolved into what became my master's thesis, and then like a bigger project, which is what we are working on now at the moment on this fungal leather.
Yeah, that's really exciting to hear. And it's not very traditional to go to that path, but I think it's super interesting for us to hear that coming from an arts and design kind of approach, you can also go to very different paths than maybe traditionally are expected. Did you feel it was hard getting into the field of biology after your background was very different? Or how have you experienced navigating between many different fields at once?
Yeah, I don't know. I think this actually took me as a surprise, because when I first moved here, I joined this like studies in sustainability. My interest at that moment was kind of like social development. But then when I came here and I started to do this course and that I mentioned and so on, yeah, I became quite interested in this sort of like field. And then I was like, okay, there's a lot of potential actually to conduct even research beyond my master's at that moment. Why not? So it just happened as such, actually. And then I discovered something that I didn't know about, and it was kind of like not planned. So far, I have really, really enjoyed it. It's a fantastic field.
Yeah, and I think that's great or kind of interesting as well to look back to those moments, like where did it change when you had an idea for a long time that this is what I'm going to do, this is why I'm studying this design, and then suddenly there's a whole new world that opens up. Mm. So that's really interesting.
Yeah, and one thing that actually also kind of like drove me into this field was my interest in fashion and then like materials that could be used for the fashion industry. Because in terms of sustainability, the fashion industry is one that really attracts me. So I think this was also kind of like one driver also that drove me into that field.
Well, I could continue asking a bit more about the kind of interdisciplinary research. So, well, the general idea, what we also have about a researcher is that they dive very deep into a certain topic, and research groups are very focused in a narrow topic of their own. But instead, you're working as an interdisciplinary researcher at VTT, and I assume that's not very common yet. So how does it differ to be an interdisciplinary researcher than maybe a traditional research group member?
Yeah, so when people ask me this question, I always say that I work at the intersection of, let's say, like design, business, and biology. And the role there as an interdisciplinary researcher is not so defined. So it's really looking into these three different areas and then seeing how the three of them can come together to then, for example, like productize the research that we do at VTT. Yeah, looking into these sort of like areas and then seeing, okay, what can be brought from those into this scientific research. For example, with materials, it's not only the technical aspects that are important. You also have to think of, you know, who's going to be customer or who's going to use this. Why is this that is being researched? Why is it useful? Sometimes you have this like interesting material, but you don't have an application for it. So I think by bringing design and also this business mindset with science, you manage to then really create something that has impact, and then you understand better the context where this sort of like product or technology will be applied, and then also the implications of it, of using it. Yeah, and then one example that I often use is like a shoe. So for example, you have this shoe nowadays, let's say like a tennis shoe, and then you have different materials on it, but it's kind of like just putting building blocks on it. You just choose the material and put it. But by bringing designers to work in the lab, you can understand not only how maybe a shoe can be made using these materials, but then also by understanding these technologies, then you can change the way these materials or these products are made in the end. And then you have this product that really like changes things, and then maybe can be even done in a more sustainable way than it's actually been done.
So I would be very interested to know if you had any challenges when diving into the interdisciplinary research.
Yeah, very nice question. Actually, I think, yeah, when I started my master's thesis at VTT, I remember feeling like really like the outsider. I mean, because, yeah, as a designer, you're always full of ideas and maybe like saying things that make no sense. But I think something that I learned over the past few years is that building a common language is extremely important. And at first, I remember coming with this sort of like just design mindset. And it's so different in the lab because, yeah, in design, you're always opening the spectrum of possibilities. While in science, maybe you have to narrow them down and then like maybe focus in one thing that you want to solve. So I think building this sort of like common language and understanding both mindsets has been extremely important. And I think nowadays it's been, yeah, quite a while now that we have been working together at VTT on this project. So there's a better understanding between my way of thinking and I also understand theirs. But I think this can be also a bit of a challenge many times for designers diving in this field.
Yeah, I would also assume that it's in a sense also a great benefit of not knowing too much on the topics, because you can really come from the outside and see the things, well, outside the box in a way, because it also happens to us in our research and in our project that we are 10 people who are really, really focused on our topic and every day working on it. And then we might forget what is kind of right there in front of our eyes, what we cannot see going and diving so deep into that.
Yeah. As an engineer, it's sometimes a bit hard to see the big picture. And you mentioned that you're interested in sustainability and sustainable materials. Why do you feel that synthetic biology is kind of like the key for sustainability in this field?
Yeah, I think that with biotechnology, we have seen like a lot of potential in the way these bio-based materials can be created. But I think also as we go further in this field, we have realized that there are also some like barriers. Again, taking the example of fungal leather, making it like strong as normal animal leather and so on, synthetic biology, then one can actually engineer these organisms to maybe achieve these properties that with this sort of like normal way of doing things are not so easily achieved. So I think in that sense, synthetic biology is rather interesting and has a lot of potential. And I think also nowadays we're seeing a lot of these materials that could be alive, also adaptive and autonomous. And I think with synthetic biology, we have there like a big playground to create these materials that, yeah, could be like alive and repair themselves or, yeah. And I think this is, we're going to see a lot of these sort of like approaches in the future.
Yeah, I think that that's the kind of mindset that we also need when facing all these big issues with sustainability and other global crises, that we do need to kind of review things differently, starting from the very small parts and not try to design with the traditional materials or traditional ways of doing things, but actually kind of rethink the whole cycle and the whole process. But isn't that challenging as well? It sounds like a lot of things are needed to consider for that.
Yeah, and that's a very important point. And I think like I always think that with synthetic biology, yes, it's really exciting that we can create all these different materials. But like you say, I think we should really take in consideration like these materials as or like the systems in which they are part of. For example, if we think of circular economy, I think that whenever we're working with these materials, we should always think of them as a closed loop, or in a way that, okay, we're creating these new materials, but what are their systems of use and production? Because I think if we're not careful with that at the moment, we might suffer in the future from all these even like biosynthetic materials that produce their own ways of use and production, and it's going to be really hard to like recycle them and so on. So we might have similar problems like we have right now with fossil-based materials, but then it will be with these ones that are bio-based or like synthetic, but then it's kind of like again this the same problem. So I think it's really important to think of these materials as a closed cycle, or like in a very systematic way, so that we avoid this sort of thing. So thinking how it is produced, how it's going to be like used in the products, and how these products are going to go back into the environment, or how are they going to be collected.
And maybe going back to your own research and your work, so what has been the most interesting project that you have been involved in?
I think the most interesting project has been this one called New Leather. Yeah, this project where we have been developing a method for creating mycelium leather. It has been very interesting in the sense that I have been able to not only work in the lab and collaborate with the scientists there and do like work myself with the mycelium, but then also I have been involved in other parts of the project, such as the market research, or also the some of the commercialization tasks and reaching out to companies, having different discussions with them, and really learning about their needs and also kind of like their challenges for also using these materials in their own products. So it has been really interesting to obtain this sort of like overall understanding of how these materials can be made, and then also like the needs and barriers also that existing barriers there are like in the industry for using these materials. Because I think like nowadays you see a lot of media coverage on these materials, but then once you start really digging into it, you realize that there's a lot of work still to be done, and some materials are using, I don't know, for example, like PU or PVC to fix the challenge there of the strength or coatings. And I think that one needs to be really critical when we look at these new alternatives, because not all of them are usually 100% sustainable. Or it's good that they are changing to some extent the way they are produced, or like they are more sustainable, but one needs to be quite critical and really look into, okay, is it completely sustainable, or what parts of the process then uses like some other alternative due to like there not being maybe the exact solution at the moment.
Yeah, we do need to be critical that even though it's a new solution, it might not automatically be better or somehow like naturally more sustainable or anything. It's good to review always that, even though it's new and innovative, but still remain with that critical kind of approach to things and always keep on reviewing those.
Mm. Yeah.
But yeah, I think at this point we could thank you for participating, and it has been a pleasure for us to have a whole new perspective on this topic and the field of synthetic biology as a whole.
Yeah, thank you so much.
No, thank you. It's been really nice to be here and sharing a bit of our work at VTT and kind of like my own thinking also behind design and in this field of synthetic biology. Thanks a lot.